Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is an everything goes wrong day. Well, not everything, but it always seems like it's something that goes wrong. Well, good day, everyone. I see a whole lot of people jumped into the chat room page, but no one's able to jump into the chat room today because, you know, while you get ready to do a broadcast, it's 30 minutes before the broadcast, so you're trying to get everything lined out as usual, which is enough. And now the chat room doesn't work for some reason. Boy, this is just like everything else. Well, almost everything else in my life, but many things in my life, as far as technically speaking, just keep going wrong. Okay. But I'm still happy. I'm not stressed about it because, you know, after, 69 years of this, you kind of think, well, I'm not going to start stressing out now about it. I learned to deal with it a long time ago, and sometimes just to say, okay, if the chat room's not going to work today, the chat room's not going to work today. And speaking of things not working, you've all been with me on this one-year journey to get my well in, because I signed a contract over a year ago, but because of COVID lockdowns and supply chain disruptions and people dying, you know, the sudden adult death syndrome. You heard about it if you listened to the news just before the broadcast. I mean, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how three doctors died in 1 week at one hospital in Canada. Well, now they just reported it again. And people are starting to suspect that it may be from the mRNA reprogramming, so-called vaccine, yeah, for a flu that would kill nobody unless they're already at death's door. So it's really messed things up. But speaking of the well, and they got the well dug. It was like almost a month ago, 3 weeks or a month ago. They finished the well, and then they're supposed to come in and blow it out. They charge you like $1,000, and I already paid for it because I thought they were just going to finish it, you know, 3 weeks ago or whenever it was, a month ago. And I thought they were just going to finish it. They said 4 days. Well, it turned into 2 weeks, and they finished the well and went away, but they didn't finish it. So I paid for them to blow out the well, which means they blow all the mud and the gunk and the stuff that is in the well from them drilling the well. Well, they showed up yesterday with a rig, and the rig, they've stopped in the street. I opened the gate to let them in, and the rig wouldn't start. Okay, so they, all day long, they got a mechanic over here, fixed the rig. And then, so this morning, they're in here bright and early, and they bring the rig in, and they start, you know, with their crane and all that stuff, and got a drop pipe down there and blow the well out with this huge compressor they got. Now they're having a problem. The compressor's not working today. So it's going to be another day, huh? Well, that's just the way things go sometime. Anyway, I'm looking at the chat room since the chat room at FirstAmendmentRadio.com is not working now for some unknown reason. I just get this blank screen. I go to the chat pages website, and it's the same thing. All of their chat rooms are down for some reason. And it says on there, it says, banned. Expires Tuesday, 16/20/22. I have no idea. I didn't want to look into it before a broadcast or try to. So that's the way that works. But anyway, it's good to see someone from Belgium in the room. Good morning, Belgium. New Jersey. Akron, Ohio. I know who that is. That's Fireman Mike. Pompano Beach, Florida, and Akron and Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, those people showed up in the, so I can see that there are people in the chat room, but nobody's able to chat, but that's fine. And I'm looking at the chat room over at DLive and also looking at the one at Odyssey. Nobody's checked into the one at Odyssey. WW listens there. So, but I got a few people in the chat room over at DLive. So, because we're live on DLive. And Fuzzmeister says, sounds like Murphy's Law, Nicholas. Yeah, if anything can go wrong, it will. See, we're supposed to laugh about that because it's kind of a joke, but it's the truth at the same time. And let's see, who have I got here? Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike, Akron, Ohio.
Hey, Mike.
Well, your sound is really bad, but can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Okay, I hear you a little better now. Yeah, about the chat room on First Amendment Radio, it appears to be working on our end.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I see Dale just came up, Jesuit team.
Huh.
Tom.
Okay, well, let me try a different browser. Yeah, just what I wanted to.
There's several. It appears that we could at least talk to each other, but I just wanted to let you know, and I hope you get your well done soon.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. Well, I seem to be banned. Yeah, because I tried a different browser.
Live traffic feed on First Amendment Radio, you know, a visitor.
Okay, well, you guys could talk to each other, but know that I can't see you. During my break, I'm going to go get my laptop and see if I can do it on my laptop, but. I'm going to wait for the break
anyway,
for that.
We're all here.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Okay. Thanks for the call. Okay, well, the chat room's working for everyone else. So, anyway, as you can see, it's not working. This is what I get. Some picture of some guy, and it says, banned. Expires Tuesday, 16 August, 2022. What, they banned me from my own chat room? Something's not right there, because I've tried it on three browsers, and I get the same thing here on my computer. So maybe they're banning my IP or something. I don't know. Yeah, okay, so everybody else can enjoy the chat room. Anyway, I'll say hi to Fuzzmeister, gives me a 5x5 there in the chat room and DLive. The trouble is, they keep the video there. Well, they don't store the video on DLive because I stream there 24/7. Only if you start and stop your stream do they keep the video there. But anyway, let's be done with all of this, these technical difficulties, and let's get back to the news. First hour, we're going to do news and current events and things like that. And in the second hour, I'm going to take a look at, I think I'm done with my book, and now I just need to do my final edit, go through it again. I'm going to do my Audible before I publish, so I can publish the Audible at the same time. I find that helps me to refine the book, too, if I do the Audible before I publish it. So, but anyway, I was going to share a section there on the historic roots of the millenary belief and some more research I found and dug up. And so I wanted to share that with you. So we'll do that during the second hour. And then you'll know that I'm done and I will be publishing the book, as I said, in September. So I'm on target there for that. And I don't know if the heat, it's already 85 degrees in my studio. I've got a fan, exhaust fan on, and I've got another fan and a cooler on, but it's going to get hot in a couple hours because I live in the Central Valley of California, and we expect 100-degree-plus days every day for weeks on end. So that's just the way it is. And if I don't show up for the next couple weeks, I'm going to have some good either pre-recorded broadcast for you. Unless something big happens that, you know, I just feel like I have to be here for. And I got a lot of work to do around here anyway that might take, like I usually do in the summer, take a lot of the live broadcast off. But I'm here, I'm live today. So let's jump into some news items. As I was saying, and we heard on the news, that the COVID shot thing, I mean, when you hear it on the news on First Amendment radio, you know, we have family radio news at the top of the hour because it's Christian, but they are fairly mainstream. So when you hear it on our news feed at the top of the hour, you know it's starting to hit the mainstream, and it will be, it's more so hitting the mainstream all the time. And I expect that if, I mean, I'm praying really hard, and our resistance has not been futile for those of us that have resisted, and our prayer for those in our family, members, loved ones that were duped or deceived or whatever into, that trusted the government, basically, because they thought, well, this is America, you know, their brains are still back somewhere 40, 50, 60 years ago when the government was somewhat more trustworthy, at least on a local level, but the corruption has permeated down even to the local level. But that's where it needs to be purged first, is on the local level. So see a lot of movement there, and hopefully that we can keep moving to keep America as free as America can be in these terrible last days that we're in leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And we all know, you know, if we've been following along, that should be soon. If we believe in the millenary doctrine of the scripture, it's somewhat extra biblical, though we're, because it doesn't explicitly say it. See, I'm going to tell you that, unlike the amillenarians and the pre-tribulation rapturists who won't tell you that it's not explicit. Their thesis, they say it is explicit because they get it through conjecture. But I know the millennium is not conjectured itself, the millennial belief that Christ will return and will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That's why I felt the need to write my book that I'm writing now and get my 2 cents in there in the battle of for the truth, for scripture truth, and scripture alone truth, not merely conjecture. But I also believe that that it is, at least, it is upheld by scripture and not excluded by it. The fact that we have 7 millenary periods due to this fallen creation, and the last one of which Christ will return. Now, this part is not thesis or conjecture. It is explicit from the scripture that Christ will return, and we will rule and reign on the earth with him for 1,000 years. And for people to say that's unacceptable, like the amillenarians say that that's unacceptable, would be like the Jews saying, well, that's unacceptable for Jesus to come and then for death to reign, for the curse to reign on the earth for 1,000 years while Jesus or the Messiah builds his church. See, that was unacceptable too. That would have been unacceptable for them not to accept that Christ will return and rule on the earth for 1,000 years before the end of the Adamic creation ages, the 7 millenniums, is the same thing as saying that it's repugnant, unacceptable for Christ to have come the first time and allowed men to continue to sin on the earth for 2,000 years during the church age. Anyway, I'm jumping ahead to the next hour, aren't I? Let me get this book out of my face here and look at some news. Okay, let's see. We got the Babylon Bee. Let's see. Trump versus Biden, a comprehensive comparison. Plentiful Choco Tacos. We get a check for Trump and an X for Biden. And we all know what's going on and what I was talking about, even with my well dilemma here I was looking so forward to getting water. I wanted to have a garden this year, but the summer's more than halfway through it, so I can't even get one crop of corn in my garden. So anyway, painful times. Hilarious tweets. Yeah, we got those from Trump. I guess he's still giving them on his own Truth Social thing. And I haven't got there or signed up yet. I went there yesterday. I thought, I'm going to check this out. But they want a cell number. They go, I give you a phone number. I give you an email address. Why do you have to have my cell number? I don't want to be tracked and traced. Not even by Truth Social. You know? Anybody. I only want to give people I want to call me my number. Okay? That's the only people I want to give my cell number to. So I'm not giving it to True Social or Facebook. Yeah. That's the way that works. So anyway, let's see what else we got here. Monkey box pox symbol added to the pride flag. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Let's see what else we got. Let's see. Dr. Seuss inspired mug draws backlash from liberals. Let's see. Let's go, Brandon. I do not like your mental haze. I do not like your leftist ways. I do not like your sun on blow. I do not like your sleepy Joe. Yeah. Both of them say the same thing, don't they? You don't get that. Okay, liberals are back at it. It seems like canceling Dr. Seuss was not enough. Okay. Let's see. Authorities arrive to confiscate husband's man card after he calls a handyman to fix faucet. Those are just kind of off-the-wall ones. I have no idea. Some of these I just don't get on Babylon Bee. Sometimes they got pretty good ones. Let's see. After declaring state of emergency in California for monkeypox, Gavin Newsom seen at French laundry orgy. This guy thinks he has a prayer of being the president of the United States. You know, and I'm afraid to say that he probably does. And I'm sorry about that, but you know, your loss will be California's gain. Undoubtedly. Yeah. It won't work that way. But yeah, if they could, you know, get a guy like Obama in the presidency, and now they're talking about his wife being president, and I'm going, you know, any of these things can happen, because look what they've done so far. They've put it in our face. They've thrown it up in our face and look what we can do, whether you like it or not. We are fully in charge. The American people are nothing to us. Nothing but a bunch of nothing but cattle. That's all we are to them, to the ruling elite, the oligarchy of the world. And so if they want, you know, we will see who they've chosen, it seems like, you know. And it's a sad day in America when your best hope is Donald Trump, the one who introduced us to warp speed and the death shot. Yeah, it's a sad day for America when that is our best hope. And then when you realize and you go, man, Newsom or Michelle Obama could be our next president. Likely, it will be that laughing hyena that no Democrat would even vote for that will be our next president, because she was selected by the pretender in chief, that brain dead man over there in New Vatican. You know, that's what we ought to call it. That's what we ought to name Washington, D.C. You know, it's like you had New York, New Orleans, you know, all the new names of cities from Western Europe over here in the New World. They just put new in front of them. But Washington, D.C. should just be called New Vatican. Yeah, that's what it is. That's my new name for Washington, D.C. New Vatican. That's it, because that's what it is. The Pope rules there. The papacy, the shadow government, rules there for the Antichrist and has since its inception. As a matter of fact, the whole thing, the whole development of Washington, D.C. was a conspiracy by the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, the Jesuits working for the, and it's all there. It's in history. You know, people look at you, they hear something like that for the first time. They go, this guy is nuts. He's one of those conspiracy nuts for sure. But all I can say to you is read Rulers of Evil. It's a free book. And if you aren't convinced by the time you're done with Rulers of Evil, then, well, you'll never be convinced. So if you want to read Rulers of Evil, you can go to my website there at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. You go to the homepage there. And let's see, at the top, you'll see a tab that says Bible study. You click on that and you go down, there's links. There's a section there, Bible studies are on the left and there's some links on the right. At the very bottom link is Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy. And let me see if it works. I'm going to click on it right now. Uh-oh, I clicked on it. There it is. And look at that, it works. You know, a couple people complained because, you know, a few months ago, my server went down for 10 days. And I don't believe that there was anything nefarious going on. I did at the time because I thought this is just, you know, why can't they back this thing up? But I guess I wasn't the only one. But after 10 days, they got everything completely restored. So that one is FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In the meanwhile, I set up on another server, FirstAmendmentRadio.net. So, FirstAmendmentRadio.net. So now they're on two different servers, so you can go to either one. Now, I did have to do a few things to have them go to one page by putting forwarders on there, like the chat room. You want everybody in the same chat room. So I forwarded everything to .net for the chat room. Okay, we're going to, for real, jump into the news and continue there for the next half hour. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Well, welcome back. Oh, yeah, we're talking about Babylon B and Gavin Newsom being your next president. As he won't be mine. I refuse to claim anything about the United States government, or I should say New Vatican over there. On the East Coast of America, New Vatican. So like I said, rulers of evil. If I could put it in the chat room, I would. But like I said, go to my website, and you'll see it there on the Bible Studies tab, the very bottom last link, Rulers of Evil, F. Tupper Saucy, and you'll get an education. This is a banned book. We're not allowing this book to be printed anymore, but we do have PDFs out here, so this is a PDF of the whole book. And if you go to buy a copy, you're going to have to spend hundreds of dollars if you can get a copy at all. This is a rare and banned book. So you definitely want to read this one simply because the shadow government does not want you to read this book. Yeah, they don't want you disabused of the deceit and the lies that are present and what you've been taught. And then I believe if you read this book, you'll agree with me. I've tried to contact whoever owns this to try to see if it could get it published again, but I've just a dead end everywhere I look to try to publish this book again. And maybe if you go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com webpage, homepage there, you'll see a link that where Tom Fress has reviewed the entire book on, I don't know, like 30 segments. So it's a, If you want to make it easy and you just want to listen to it, you can go through it with Tom Fress anyway. I would like to do a Rulers of Evil update. And I'm thinking that would be something I'd like to work on, and do a little more research on it, to see if it can be ferreted out a little bit more than in Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy. So don't let that resource get by you without your attention and without your read. Let's see. Biden drone strike accidentally kills terrorist leader instead of car full of children. That's pretty dark humor there. Let's see. Sodom and Gomorrah declare state of emergency over monkeypox. That's it for that. Let's see, what else do we got here? The COVID vaccine scam. Emergency use authorization came into prominence with the Right to Try law. This law was another way for patients who had been diagnosed with life-threatening diseases, who had tried all approved treatment options, and who were unable to participate in clinical trials, to access certain unapproved treatments. What is the difference between FDA approval and emergency use authorization? FDA approval from the Food and Drug Administration is an independent, scientifically reviewed approval for medical products, drugs, and vaccines. And that's why so many people made the mistakes, because they believed that things were as they were in the past, for the most part. But we know now that the FDA approval means absolutely nothing by what we've seen in the last couple of years. But before that, it meant something, at least. You might be getting something very dangerous, but it wasn't going to outright just kill millions of people, kill, maim, and destroy the health of millions of people, such as what they are doing now. And they're still doing it. Now they want your children. It's not enough that we have sudden adult death syndrome. Well, it's not just sudden adult death syndrome, but children, babies, miscarriages, toddlers, infants. They just want to kill everyone indiscriminately. And I think it's starting to backfire on them. At least I hope. I pray for it to backfire on them. I pray for these people to be dragged into international courts for crimes against humanity. That is my prayer for the people that have pulled this off and gotten rich. And they haven't got rich enough. You know, $50 billion a year isn't enough for these people. You know, in the drug industry, they want the children and the babies too. It's not enough to murder children in the womb before they're born. Now they want them after they're born. Yeah. A special place in hell for each and every one of these people. And I pray for all of them to end up there. I mean, I feel that way, you know. I know people can repent, but sometimes you just think, man, there are some people that repentance should not be available for. And those people are lucky that I'm not God. I'm lucky I'm not God. You are too. We're all lucky that God is God and that it's up to Him who gets to be forgiven and who doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, I just, that's the kind of, you know, anger I feel towards these people that are doing this. Just, and this is a judgment. God has allowed this judgment on America and the world, really. Yeah. Didn't need an army to come in and kill millions of people. It's happening. And you know, the thing is that the people, the oligarchs that are trying to pull this off, they're killing the people that believe in them and follow them the most. They're killing the most gullible, the most moldable people, because those are the ones that have lined up and taken the jab. It's like those doctors in Canada, you know, three of them in all in 1 week in one hospital. More than that have died, though, because they're dying in droves up there. But so all after, very soon after receiving the fourth booster jab, that means they got two original jabs, a first booster, a second booster, a third booster, and now they're getting their sixth shot, a fourth booster. See, the more you get, and they're all the same jab, as far as I know, that's what I've learned, you know, and would it matter much, but yeah, it's a booster. You're going to get another one of the same thing that didn't work five other times, and this time it's really going to kill you if it didn't kill you before. Or maybe they were lucky and four times they got a batch that wasn't so deadly, but finally they got a deadly batch. Maybe they're just rolling out all deadly batches now, you know, for all of the gullible people that are left that will still take it. Might as well kill them all off. They're all going to be sick and die young anyway, right? I mean, you got to, how do these people think? Or are they just so drunk with money that they have themselves deluded into believing they're doing good? And then when I hear, oh, Joe Biden, you know, he's fully jabbed and he got sick again, so he's going to get another jab or another drug. Are they really giving him, you know, this guy is so out there and so close near death, it seems already, that he should have died after the first shot. See, I don't think they're giving their own people the same shots. And I think someone like who's in the know and is part of the agenda, is part of the population reduction agenda, they say they're taking the shot, but I don't believe they are. I believe they're taking a shot, maybe, for public consumption, and it's a saline shot. Because even people who thought they were getting the jab, some of them got saline. That was in the news. Didn't you read about it? During 2021, when they started rolling out the shots, they were discovering that some of them were nothing but saline solution. And then start watching Stu Peters and all of these doctors on there, and Dr. Jane Ruby and all these, and they show that they've been doing tests, these different batches, so they tell you that these different batches have different things in them. See, this is why I'm not on YouTube, because you are not allowed to say these things on YouTube. If you wonder why First Amendment Radio and Prophecy Reality is not on YouTube anymore, this is exactly why, because I want to tell the truth. That's all I want to do. Now, you can't even speak, call abortion murder. You know, they're rolling it out now on Twitter and YouTube, that they're limiting speech even on abortion, or pro-life speech now is going to be targeted. But see, there's a lot of other venues rolling out there. But I hate to say, even on a lot of the so-called free speech venues, First Amendment Radio is shadow banned. Even on those, that's how far out First Amendment Radio is, because we out the Antichrist. We call things like Washington, D.C. We call Washington, D.C. New Vatican, because that's exactly what it is. You got the Jesuit Georgetown University right there, where they write all of our laws. All of that legislation primarily comes out of, just like the Patriot Act, straight from Georgetown University, which is, I think that's the first Jesuit university in America, isn't it? I believe it is the first one. And from there, they've spread their universities all across the country. And that's why our education is being destroyed. That's why our seminaries are all inseminated with Counter-Reformation eschatology. And now that just goes into all the churches. Yeah. That's what in the world is going on. So the COVID scam and FDA approval now means nothing. Emergency use authorization means you are a guinea pig. It's an emergency. And well, then there was no emergency. I called it not an emergency, but, what was it I called it? There that goes. Having a teenage moment there. I learned that from the teenagers, the children, the grandchildren and children around me. They do that all the time. So I'm not going to just say it's a senior thing, although it's a senior thing too. Okay. So Senator Kamala Harris of California said during a vice presidential debate that she does not trust the Trump administration's push to rush a coronavirus vaccine into production. When she was asked if Americans should take the vaccine, she responded with, "If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it." Well, we can only hope so. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it. Yeah, so what is the difference between an EUA vaccine under President Trump and the same one under President Biden? Yes, one was available and the other became mandatory. That was the only difference between the two. One was available and the other became mandatory. And it's still mandatory for all of the military and by many of the corporations out there. But it was good to hear on the news that 5-minute news break. They'll probably repeat it in the news to come about the big thing that's going on in Canada after the fourth booster, which is the sixth shot. Okay, let's see. What else do we got in the news here? Democrat logic, reduce inflation with more inflation. All right, let's see. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Hi, Nick, was Fireman Mike again?
Go ahead, Mike.
I just pulled up a bookstore website, Abe Books.
Okay.
A-B-E Books. Rulers of Evil is on there for... used copy for $230 and a new hardcover for $507.
There you go.
Yep. Okay, just wanted to put that out there.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Well, there you go. Now, you know, I wasn't exaggerating at all about Rulers of Evil. But if anyone, yeah. Anyway, if you would like a copy of it, you could contact me. I think I can get one for a lot less than $500 or $230 or whatever it is for a copy of Rulers of Evil. And see, that should make you want to read the book because the PDF is free. And you can take a PDF file and you can print it. You can have it printed for much less than $270 at your local Office Depot or something. Yeah, seriously. They can print it and bind it for you. yeah. I can get it printed and bound for less than $10 myself because I have done it, actually. And, let's see. Do I have a copy here? No, I've got several copies. I give them away to, my children and my grandchildren because I want them to read Rulers of Evil. That's how important the book is because it disabuses you of all the indoctrination that you received throughout your public school or even your homeschool history life and what you learn in the movies and stuff. But this is the secret hidden history that they do not want you to know. Definitely, Americans, they don't want them to know this, what is in Rulers of Evil. Yeah. It's not a war manual against the New World Order at all, but it does engender resistance, that's for sure. Just checking things out here. Okay, Democrat logic, reduce inflation with more inflation. Yeah, their reduce inflation bill, where they're going to spend $443 billion. Everything they do these days, everything they pass, is all about corruption. Is how many of their friends and they can get rich, how many bribery agents they can pay off. I did see a small cartoon or something, and it said that that in America it's called lobbying, in every other country it's called bribery, and that's what we have in America. So they got to pay off all their lobbyists. You know, all the people that gave them money that bought influence. So every time they pass a bill, it is, I would say, probably more than 50% of it is going for payoffs. So all those bill, and then you wonder why. See, do you wonder why you now can pay $5 to $10 for a loaf of bread? And gas is $5 a gallon. That's why. Because they're ripping you off. And somebody has to pay for all this corruption. So basically, they're leading us like lambs to the slaughter. And they realize that a lot of people that if the few people that are producing are the ones that they have to tax the most, those are the ones that pay the most because they're the only ones producing anything. And that's why they want to get rid of most of the population, because they're just useless eaters, you know, hooking up into their billions. But they would rather have you on the government teat than have you out there thinking for yourself. Their logic is illogical, and everything they do only leads to their own destruction. But they do a lot of damage, do they not? Anyway, got another article here. It says, Armageddon looms for Democrat Party. Well, I could only wish and hope that it's true, but I hope that it's as true for the Democrat Republicans, the Republican Democrats. The party system is really an abomination to everything that America was founded on, notwithstanding the poison that infected it at the inception of the Constitution with the New Vatican or Washington, D.C., the 10-square-mile concentration of power. And whenever you see a concentration of power like that, you know that the Antichrist's hand is in it. Because it's much easier to exercise corruption when you have concentration of power. And that was the whole plan from the beginning. See, the Antichrist had, you know, centuries and centuries of experience at corrupting people to gain power. And that's why, you know, the whore church is corrupt from its beginning. Root and branch is corrupt. There is no hope for it. That's what the reformers discovered. You know, we had a reformation, and they came to the conclusion that it was irreformable. And that's when they recognized that it was that great apostasy. And the man that sits on the papal throne is the man of sin. It wasn't a singular man, that it was a line of men, like the President of the United States is a line of men, like the man of God is not a singular man, but it is a whole class of men. Well, the man of sin is a class of men too, and there is a line. That man of sin, that is the head, that was introduced by Paul at the same time he introduced the great apostasy. They are together, the man of sin and the great apostasy. And logic tells us that there is the greatest apostasy that has ever been and ever will be and is right now is called the Roman Catholic Church. There won't be a greater one. There's a lot of apostasy in the earth. There's a lot of apostasy in even so-called offshoots of the Protestant Reformation. A lot of those churches, a lot of those organizations have gone apostate since then. They've joined hand in hand with the whore that rides the beast. So that's the state of the world today. And to the world, most people won't even get far enough to hear that and understand that there's logic behind it. The greatest apostasy is the Roman Catholic Church, and it's still here today. And that's what Paul was writing about in 2 Thessalonians when he wrote about the great apostasy and its man of sin, which was working. The mystery of iniquity was already working, Paul said, and it was. And that's why I have my article on my website, which you should check out. It's called Lest We Forget What We Protest. And it goes right back to the very beginning of the great apostasy, because it began in Palestine and it traveled to Rome, and there it flourished. And today it's called the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, I'll be back after the news. Don't go anywhere.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And I did get into the chat room on my cell phone, but I can't chat on the cell phone. I can hardly see it. So I guess it's just my IP here on the ground that is blocked for some reason. So I'll figure that out later. Except I can't log in unless I do it from somewhere else. That is bizarre. Okay, let's see. What else we got here? We were going to do news, and then I wish I could read the chat room. So if you got anything to say, you need to call in today because I can't read the chat room unless I read it at one of these other places like DLive. Fuzzmeister says, yeah, creepy Uncle Joe is getting placebo and the test is 100% meaningless. That's the truth. The fools are ones dying from believing that the beast lies. Yeah, believing the beast lies. Yeah. And let's see. No difference. Yeah, the apostasy is the purpose of the man of sin. Absolutely. So anyway, I got agreement there. Everybody's in agreement with me in the chat room. And if they're not agree with me, they already left. Yeah. So they won't listen to the truth. They can't hear it. And that's what I've begun to learn, is that you can dig out the truth. You can find out the truth about prophecy and the millennium and all these things. But most people will have none of it. They love their lies, they love their comforts, and they do not want to be upset by anything at all, and especially the truth, it seems. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Oh, we got somebody who's shy. Either that or your phone's malfunctioning. Okay, so, yeah, try it again, and you know, moving your mouth. My apologies if something else is the problem. Anyway, let's see. Oh, that's what we're going to do. We could talk more about news. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I did have a little news here on the Antichrist front here. Vigano and Bergoglio. Everyone knows who Vigano and Bergoglio are, right? Trips to Canada, acts of submission to the New World Order. And this is by, of course, this is Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. I guess he's hiding, maybe, I don't know, in exile. He's one of the ones that believe that Pope Francis is not the true pope. So I put him right over there with Miracle Money, Rick Wiles at True Radio. And, oh, wow. That's something that, oh. You could see this yesterday's broadcast on True News. In the last 10 minutes, he starts talking about Miracle Money. And this blew my mind. And I think this tells you everything you need to know about Rick Wiles. I'm sorry to say, but I should have clipped this out for you, but you can check it out yourself. Rick Wiles is talking about Miracle Money. And he said, and so his buddy goaded him to tell him the story. I guess something he told him that happened to him the day before that had to do with miracle money. And I couldn't believe it when I heard this, that this man could say this and think somehow that this was a good thing, that this was a miracle from God. It just blew my mind. So maybe I'll cut it out and post it on my website later on or something. But yeah, go to True News, yesterday's broadcast, and I think it's in the last 10 minutes when he starts talking about miracle money. And he tells the story about how he got miracle money. Rick did. And he said he gave half of it to God. Yeah. True News, that is. Wow. Yes, that was no Freudian slip, was it? Anyway, he says he went to the gas station and he took out his card and he put it in the slot in the gas pump, and it said, and the thing said to him, select, make your gas selection. And he thought, and he says, oh, he thought that was weird, because usually it asks you for, you know, other information before, and selecting your gas is less. So he selected his gas. He selected whatever he selects. And then it said, then the thing told him, start pumping. Now he just put his card in. It didn't read it or anything, or he didn't register in. And so it says, start pumping gas, because he selected regular or whatever. So he pumps his gas, and it stops at $30. Now, what would you think if you pulled in, put your card in, and it told you? Now, he said it was miracle money. So he thought about it. He said, what's going on? This is weird. And then he said, ding, the light bulb went off in his head. And he says, oh, it's God giving me miracle money. What do you guys think? I wish I could see your faces right now. What would I think if I went up to the gas station and it didn't take the money out of my debit card, but the pump gave me gas anyway? You know what I would think? I would think that the guy inside the store hit the wrong pump number, and that somebody else out there on those other 10 pumps is waiting for their $30 worth of gas. And so Rick says he accepted the miracle money and he went his way. And then he told Doc, he says, yeah, and I gave half of it to God. True news. His ministry. And so he got gas for half price. What a miracle. But you know who it wasn't a miracle for? Because here's my thinking. If that happened to me, I would go inside and pay for the gas, because I know somebody made a mistake, and somebody else is complaining, going, where the heck is my gas? Right? I know I ordered 30% of gas and I'm still waiting out here. So that guy goes into the store, and Rick, so he leaves and he accepts it in miracle money and he broadcasts it to the world. Now, as a Christian man, I'm glad I don't believe in miracle money, because that's folly. And see where that folly gets you? If you believe in miracle money, that's akin to name it, claim it, basically. That's all it is. It's a slick way for ministries to fund themselves. Because he started his own Rick Half Hour on national TV, because the world's going to end now. Because he said God told him in the 1990s. 1999 or 98, whenever he began, he had his dream at wherever it was, his dream or vision. He said that God told him that he would put him on, that when he put him on national TV, that the world was going to end. So I guess the world's going to end because Rick's on national TV. But the problem is he can't pay for it, because who would watch and support Rick unless he's doing the news? Because he did a great news program for 20 years. And that's where all his fame and his claim came from. I admit, well, the news isn't as good today as it used to be. It's getting worse and worse all the time. But anyway, me, if it had been me, I would not take that $30 worth of gas and go away. Because I know that someone, at the end of the day, there's going to be $30 missing out of the cash register. And you know where it is? It's in Rick's gas tank. That's the truth. And somebody's going to have to pay. somebody, or at least there's going to be a suspicion that somebody stole $30 in cash. But you know what? I wish I knew where that gas station was. I'd clip that out and send it. But that's a bad witness because Rick claims to be a Christian. But he went to a gas station and stole $30 worth of gas, and he's going to blame it on God giving him miracle money. Sorry, Rick Wiles, but you are on the wrong track, man. Yeah, see, that's when you fall for delusions like miracle money and name it, claim it, and you become deluded like Rick Wiles is. It's no wonder he can't accept the return of Christ and that Christ is going to come back and bodily reign on the earth for 1,000 years because he can't see the truth. He can't read what's plainly written in his Bible. So don't buy his book. Don't support his ministry. Now, you know, maybe unintentionally, he is a thief. Because he's not going to be able to stand before God and go, God, I thought it was miracle money. I don't think that's going to work, Rick. You better repent, dude. That's all I could say. Rick Wiles needs to repent. And I'm sorry I have to report something like that, but yeah, we're supposed to call out evildoers wherever we see them. In the church first, because judgment begins at the house of God. So if any of you guys are friends of Rick's out there, watch that program and see if you agree with me or not. And then you better call out your buddy Rick and say, hey, man, you better go to that gas station right now and own up and repent to God and repent to them. It's your duty as a Christian, and it's your duty as a man who is supposedly, whose life is a Christian witness. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Okay, Vigano and Bergoglio's trip to Canada, Act of Submission to the New World Order by Archbishop Maria Vigano. Okay. Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. My wife, when asked who converted her to Catholicism, always answers, the devil. G.K. Chesterton. That's a quote he put in his article. And this is from Vigano, who is a Catholic bishop. I love it, man. It is not by chance that Satan is called, and he has some Greek here, Diablos, in the Greek. That's what I'm getting anyway. Can you read Greek? But I'm pretty sure it's Diablos, with the double meaning of liar and accuser. Satan lies because he hates the truth, that is, God in his essence. He lies because if he were to tell the truth, he would reveal his own deceptions. He lies because only by lying can he also be the accuser of the brethren, he who day and night accuses them before God. And just as the most blessed version here, say, now is Roman stuff is showing through, but this is Bishop Vigano. He's a Mariolater, a worshiper of Mary. The most blessed version, the tabernacle of the incarnate word, is Advocata Nostra. So Satan is our accuser and the one who inspires false testimony against the just. So I pray for Bishop Vigano that he will become a true Protestant and protest his way all the way out of the Roman Catholic Church, along with all of its false miracles and idolatry. Vigano, come on out, buddy. You know, it's good that you're leaving this Pope behind, but, you know, God said, call no man father. So it's not just the wrong Pope. It is wrong. Period. Anyway, he continues, the revolution, which is the overturning of the divine cosmos in order to establish infernal chaos, have no arguments to discredit the Church of Christ and the Christian society that has been inspired and guided by her down the centuries. Resorts to slander and the manipulation of reality. cancel culture is nothing other than the attempt to put the civitas dei on trial in order to condemn her without proof, imposing the civitas diabli as a counterpart of alleged liberty, equality, and fraternity. In order to do this, as is evident, it prevents the masses from having the knowledge of the truth, because its deception is based on ignorance and bad faith. Anyway, that's Bishop Vigano, and we need to pray for all of these Catholics, because you know what the Reformed faith is made up of. Yeah, it's made up of primarily, well, it historically is made up of primarily Catholics who protested against the whole structure, the whole Nicolaitan structure of the church. Of course, the Nicolaitan means to rule over the laity. It's to have a hierarchy other than the hierarchy God set up. And we have only one king, and we have only one father, and our father is God in heaven, and our king, yes, our high priest, does not sit in Rome with white robes, a yarmulke, and a triple tier throne on his head. Our throne, I mean crown on his head. No, our Father who art in heaven is in heaven, and his name will be hallowed. It will not be the great father or pope or great papa or whatever they call him. We only have one father, and our great high priest is not the pope. It is Jesus Christ himself. And not only is he our great high priest, and we are all his kings and priests and bishops underneath him. And every man who is a part of his kingdom is the high priest of his own household. And the bishops are chosen by their stewardship and their work in the churches, whether they're chosen or not. They do the work of the bishop. The bishops are not chosen by the pope. Yeah. You may be called a bishop, but I'm sorry. This archbishop, it seems like he's got a lot going on. He sees a lot of truth, and he's rejecting a lot. He is protesting what he sees going on in the Catholic Church. And I'm sorry to say that he needs to come out of her all the way. I'm not sorry to say that. I'm just sorry that he needs to come out, that he has not come out all the way, that his protest is not complete. I was born a Catholic. My mother was a Catholic. My father was a Catholic. Many of the people listening to this broadcast were Catholics, but are now Protestants. They have fully come out of the Catholic Church, and they believe in the Reformed faith, that is that they have gone back, and that is what the Reformed faith is all about. It's going back to the beginning and putting the word above any man. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Truth Speaking Doctor blows up AMA conference. Now that sounds interesting. And like I said, I see it, and I'm praying for it, that the truth just come out to become undeniable, even in the mainstream. Dr. William Bray, a Queensland doctor who gave up his license to practice in order to expose the lies and deceit behind COVID-19 and the dangers of mRNA vaccines, has crashed the national conference of the Australian Medical Association, calling Australia's Health Department Secretary a liar and citing the high rate of mRNA vaccine fatalities revealed in the CATAR study. A video of Dr. Bray's protest was posted on the Concerned Lawyers Network page on Telegram. So, people, it's starting to come out. And it's starting to come out in the mainstream. So, our protest has not been in vain. We must continue the protest. No doubt about it. Well, here's another question. Talking about Nancy over there in Taiwan. Nancy Pelosi, the Queen of California. Yeah, the Queen Mother. I should call her the Queen Mother of the West Coast, because she really is. The whole West Coast is a dynasty, and Nancy is the Queen Mother of it. One of her nephews is the governor of California, and it goes up and down the entire West Coast from California to Washington, and even inland to a few states. But it's quite a dynasty. Someone should write a book about it. You know, probably someone has written a book about it. But, is Taiwan's independence worth a war? Wow, the free country of Taiwan. Now, I don't believe that, that we should be fighting for that actor over there in the Ukraine. I don't believe that's worth it. I don't believe that Americans should pay twice as much for everything so that we can sponsor more corruption in the Ukraine and call it a war. But meanwhile, we have an actor acting as the president over there, calling his party, naming his party the same name that he named his party in the broadcast that he did when he played in the TV show an actor of the Ukraine. It's all becoming a clown show, people. And believe me, this guy is a clown. If you've seen any of his antics and his trans videos and gyrating stuff that he's done for the public out there on TV, it's just outrageous. And to think that people are seriously think that we should be fighting for the liberty and the freedom of the Nazis who run Ukraine. Yeah, I just have to throw it, that last part in there, because that's what they're really fighting for. They're fighting for the Nazis to run the Ukraine and for all of the corruption and the corrupt money that is being spread around the world for weapons that are being sold on the black market to enrich more people. That's what's really going on out there. And I kind of wonder, is Putin in on it? And I have a feeling that it's all theater. Yeah. And where would I get that feeling that it's all theater? Because the Antichrist is ruling the whole world. China is his. That's right. Yeah, wherever tyranny and corruption are the worst, yeah, that's where, you know, the Antichrist has the strongest hold. And that's why what's happening in America is happening in America. Because the stronghold of Satan and his minions in America is stronger than it ever has been. Okay, we're going into break. We'll continue with our prophecy reality worldview when we get back from these messages.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Okay, in this segment, I'm going to jump into the prophecy issue here, the historic roots of the millenary belief. And this is the last section I added to the book. And as I said, now it's just for the rest of this month until September. I'm going to go through it, read it all myself again, and do the Audible file, which will invoke my final edit and then publish it in September sometime. So thought I'd share with this with you here. The historic roots of the millenary belief. We start out, all of the early Christian fathers were millenarians. And the word millenarian is kind of an odd word. People don't use that today. It's what they call a pre-millennial today. Your pre-millennialism was just called millenarians then, or Kileist from the Greek. So all of the early Christian fathers were Kileists or millenarians. And the Roman Church calls it the millenarian heresy. Makes you wonder about all those people who don't believe in it. Okay, and they expected the advent at the termination of 6,000 years from the creation. Imagine that. So I'm one of those. I'm in agreement with those, because they expected the seventh millennium to begin, of course, after the sixth millennium ended. Yeah, that seems quite logical to be. Only they had their timing off. There were notes in the Septuagint that led them to believe, that they were about in the middle of the sixth millennium from the creation. Okay, so They expected the advent at the termination of 6,000 years from the creation, which, according to the Septuagint, would terminate about A.D. 500 to A.D. 550. That was wrong. We all know that now. I've got my study. What year is it? And we go through the Bible. If you haven't seen that, go to my website. And it's right there at the top. You can click on the what year is it there and read the whole article for yourself. Every detail of how the Bible gets us to the year that we are in. And actually, we are actually nearer the end of the sixth millennium now. And we are about 30 years from the end of it now. Yeah. That's the determination I came to. And encircling this epoch, he continues, was the first great period of expectation and disappointment for the church. You can imagine. They expected about 500 AD, the sixth millennium to end and the seventh millennium to begin. So it was a great expectation and a great disappointment, which led to some great errors, I believe. So respecting the second advent or Christ's return. There were in the Septuagint notes, which led many to believe that in the first century, they were in the midst of the sixth millennium from the creation, much like the notes later inserted into a very popular 19th century Bible, leading many into the 7-year pre-tribulation secret rapture error. You ever hear of that, any of you guys? Kind of the same thing happened. Someone put notes in the Bible, and they were wrong, but people believed them. Okay? It's funny how history rhymes. The lesson should be well learned. The conjectured notes of men should always be suspect and not be used to interpret the Bible. The ancient Jews had a tradition that the world would last for the period just named 6,000 years, and the learned Gregory of Oxford gives their argument, namely, because God was 6 days about the creation, and 1,000 years with him are as but one day, and he refers to Psalm 90, verse 4. Therefore, after 6 days, that is, after 6,000 years duration of the world, there shall be a seventh day, or millenary Sabbath of rest. Manasseh, an ancient Jewish rabbi, thus expressed his belief. As for my opinion, I think that after 6,000 years, the world shall be destroyed upon one certain day or in 1 hour, and the arches of heaven shall make a stand as immovable, that there will be no more generation or corruption, and all things by the resurrection shall be renovated and returned to a better condition. Manasseh also assures us that, quote, this, out of doubt, is the opinion of the most learned Aben Ezra, who looked for it in the new earth of Isaiah 65:17. Bishop Russell, professor of ecclesiastical history in the Scottish Episcopal Church, says, in his Discourse on the Millennium, the opinion of the Jews on this head may be gathered from the statement of one of their rabbis, who said, the world endures 6,000 years, and in the 1,000 or millennium that follows, the enemies of God would be destroyed. It was in like manner a tradition of the house of Elias, a holy man who lived about 200 years before Christ, that the world was to endure 6,000 years, and that the righteous, whom God should raise up, would not be turned again to dust. The learned Joseph Mead, called the illustrious Mead, says that the Kabbalists called the seventh millennium the great day of judgment, because then they think God will judge the souls of all men. And he quotes many of their rabbis to show that they define the day of judgment a millennium, or 1,000 years, and connected it with the resurrection and Messiah's kingdom. For example, David Kimchi on Isaiah 55:5 says, the observance of the Sabbath is essential to the faith. For such only as observe the Sabbath confess that the earth will be renewed, because he who created it out of nothing will renew it, as if He who observes the Holy Sabbath testifies his faith in the great Sabbath in which God will renew the world. This ancient opinion was not confined to the Jews. Bishop Russell states that Theopompus, who flourished 340 years before Christ, relates that the Persian Magi taught that this present state of things would continue 6,000 years, after which Hades or death would be destroyed and men would live happy, etc. This early tradition was found also in the Sibylline oracles and in the Hesiod, in the writings of Darius Hystaspes, the old king of the Medes, derived probably from the Magi, and in Hermes Trismegistus among the Egyptians, and that from Dr. Hales. Okay. This opinion, however well formed, enabled the unbelieving Jews to argue, as Ephraim Cyrus says they did, that the time for the appearing of the Messiah had not come, failing, as they did, to distinguish between his first coming in humiliation and his coming in glory that was to follow. The early Christian fathers also held to the same view respecting the period of the world's duration. In the Epistle of Barnabas, we read, "In 6,000 years the Lord will bring all things to an end, when iniquity shall be no more, all things being renewed by the Lord." Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyon, A.D. 178, wrote, "In as many days as this world was made, in so many thousand years it is perfected. For if the day of the Lord be as it were 1,000 years, and in 6 days those things that are made were finished, it is manifest that the perfecting of those things is in the 6,000 years, when Antichrist, reigning 1,260 days, shall have wasted all things in the world. Then shall the Lord come from heaven in the clouds with the glory of his Father." Hippolytus is said by Photius to have thus reasoned, and so have fixed Antichrist's coming and the world's end about A.D. 500. Cyprian, who was martyred A.D. 258, in his De Ex Hort, says, "Now 6,000 years are nearly completed." And then he speaks of the world's 7 days of creation and rest as typifying 7 millenniums. And Lactantius, Book of Divine Institutes, A.D. 310, says, "Let philosophers know who number thousands of years, ages since the beginning of the world, that the 6,000 years is not yet concluded or ended, but that number being fulfilled, of necessity there must be an end, and the state of human things must be transformed into that which is better." In connection with the time, which was the portion of the prophecy that was sealed, the early church looked to the renewed earth as the residence of the redeemed, drawing their conclusions from the teachings of the Old and New Testaments. Papias, a disciple of St. John, is quoted by Eusebius, who opposed the doctrine as teaching that, after the resurrection of the dead, the kingdom of Christ shall be established on this earth. And the same fathers quoted by Jerome, another opposer, as saying that he had the apostles for his authors, and that he considered that Andrew, what Peter said, what Philip, what Thomas said, and other disciples of the Lord. So even though they opposed him, they acknowledged that they got their teaching from the apostles. That of Eusebius and Jerome. Polycarp was another of John's disciples, and Irenaeus testifies in an epistle to Florinus that he had seen Polycarp, who related his conversation with John and others who had seen the Lord, and how he related their sayings and the things he had heard of them concerning the Lord, both concerning his miracles and doctrine, as he had received them from the Lord of life, all of which Polycarp related agreeably to the Scriptures. Following such a teacher, Irenaeus taught that at the resurrection of the just, the meek should inherit the earth, and that then would be fulfilled the promise that God made to Abraham. Yes, we are the seed of Abraham, along with the Jews, the Greeks. There is neither Jew nor Greek, and Christ for all are one. We read it plainly, so it will be fulfilled. Justin Martyr, born A.D. 89. Yes, well, he was 10 years old, about the time that John died. But a certain man among us whose name is John, being one of the 12 apostles of Christ, in that revelation which was shown him, prophesied, those who believe in our Christ shall fulfill 1,000 years at Jerusalem. And he affirms that all who were accounted orthodox believe so. Justin Martyr was an early Christian apologist and was martyred alongside some of his students. Most of his works are lost, but 2 apologies and a dialogue did survive. The first apology, his most well-known text, passionately defends the morality of the Christian life and provides various ethical and philosophical arguments to convince the Roman emperor Antoninus to abandon the persecution of the fledgling sect. In Justin Martyr, the chief direct reference to the revelation is on the millennium announced by it, which he interpreted literally, how St. John prophesied that believers in Christ would reign 1,000 years with him at Jerusalem, Jerusalem having been restored, enlarged, and beautified, agreeably with the Old Testament prophecies of the latter day, after which would follow the general resurrection and judgment. And I believe that the general resurrection and judgment, well, the general resurrection precedes the rebuilding of Jerusalem for Messiah, because I don't believe it's built before he comes, but it's built when he comes. And of course, the final judgment is at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, according to the general resurrection and judgment, is at the end, according to chapter 20 of the Revelation. The decline of millennial views. And we got a little more time. Moshim and all the writers of authority admit that previous to Origen, who introduced the mystical system of interpretation about the middle of the 3rd century, this doctrine had met with no opposition. Origen taught that the scriptures are of little use if we understand them as they are written. Boy, that's a terrible statement. Yeah, the scriptures are of little use if we understand them as they are written. Yeah, because of course they get you to believe that Jesus is going to physically return and physically reign on the earth for 1,000 years, as it is plainly stated by the plain reading of the text in chapter 20. But Origen and those that don't believe that, well, I guess the scriptures are of little use if we understand them as they are written. Dr. Milner says of him, no man, not altogether unsound and hypocritical, ever injured the Church of Christ more than Origen did. From the fanciful mode of allegory introduced by him, uncontrolled by scriptural rule and order, arose a vitiated method of commenting on the scriptures. And it was not till the days of Luther and Melanchthon that this evil was fairly and successfully opposed. Dr. Moshim says of the millennium, now its credit began to decline, principally through the influence and authority of Origen, who opposed it with the greatest warmth because it was incompatible with some of his favorite sentiments. The faith of the Church in its earliest and purest age, as writers denominated, that the consummation was then imminent, was never permitted to come to a crisis. A different belief began to prevail before the arrival of their supposed epoch for the end of 6,000 years. And not only so, but the 10 years of Diocletian's bloody persecution, the bloodiest that the Church encountered, was followed by the conversion of Constantine to Christianity in A.D. 312. He undertook to remodel the church in conformity to the government of the state and endowed it with wealth and worldly honors. To profess Christianity, then, no longer subjected one to persecution or reproach, but on the contrary, it became the road to political preferment and wealth. As a consequence, vast numbers of pagans professed conversion to the popular religion and enrolled their names in the church records. And instead of longer looking for the coming kingdom, multitudes actually supposed that the long-predicted kingdom of God was then being established by the increased splendor, popularity, and outward peace of the church. The state of things was such that Eusebius says, it looked like the very image of the kingdom of Christ. And he goes on to argue that then were fulfilled the predictions that had been before applied to the restored earth or the millennial reign of Christ. And we are running out of time quickly. And looks like I'm just about done. Yeah, we'll get it done here. Gratian III in 378 was the first of the professed Christian emperors to refuse the pontifical robe, the office of sovereign pontiff or pagan high priest, which is instituted by Numa, having been assumed by Augustus and his successors so as to unite in one head the civil and religious powers of the empire. The office being thus vacant, Damasus, the bishop or pope of Rome in AD 378, was declared Pontifex Maximus and made sole judge in religious matters. So you see the actual beginning of the official position of the Pope of Rome as the great father, the holy father of the whole church on the whole earth. Okay? So what follows, of course? Millenarians expelled from the papal church. And we find that to carry out the worship of the mother of the gods, it became necessary to expel the Orthodox from the church. Hence we find Jerome, Damasus, Basil, and all their friar associates now teaching a merely spiritual heaven of eternal idleness, precisely similar to that of the mysteries of Eleusis, instead of a regenerated universe where men should labor for the glory of their Lord. The Orthodox opposed. They declared their hope that the Lord would return and reign. Damasus decided that the reign of the saints had begun already. He now formally declared the millenarians heretics. And that was the beginning of the millenarian heresy, or those who were Kilius or millenarians were now deemed to be heretics and were excommunicated from the church. So he formally declared the millenarians heretical. He expelled them from the church. His courts everywhere decided against them. None were left save those that worshipped the Virgin Queen and desired not that Christ would return in the flesh. Buddhism and the Babylonian worship took the place of Christianity, and the old Chaldean creed became the established religion of the people, as it had for six centuries been the secret faith of the aristocracy of Rome. That mystery of iniquity was working the whole time. And this is an article from the London Quarterly Journal of Prophecy, volume 4, page 332. And my next section in this chapter is on nature and not nurture. But you'll have to get that when I publish it. And I will, as soon as I get the audible version done, I'll do it on the air for all my listeners. So you can listen to the book. You don't have to buy anything from me. You can get it free one way or another. But for those people that want to support and like good prophecy books in their library, you'll make sure that you'll add the Millennium Question in September to your catalog of books, to your personal library. Okay. All right. Well, that's what we have for today. And I wish I could get into the chat room on something beside my phone. I'm going to have to learn how to connect. I have my laptop. I know I can connect it like my cell phone to my cell phone. Wireless. There's so many things to learn. But so I'm going to try that just in case this happens to me again. So I get in the chat room. But that's the last thing I ever expected to happen to my chat room. But anyway, because I know a lot of people would be, there'd be a lot of chats in the chat room right about now, but I just can't deal on my cell phone with that little itty bitty chat room. It takes more effort than it's worth. Plus I'm sitting here, I'm sweating like a hog, man. My back is wet. I guess you could call me a wet back. I'm a wet back, a honky. Oh, am I getting politically incorrect here? Yeah, maybe. Nah, I guess I could call myself a wet back, huh? Because my shirt is sticking to my back. It's, okay, 89 degrees in my studio. And thank God. Yes, thank God that was the tone I was waiting for. Okay, well, it's been fun, everybody. I want to thank everybody for showing up in the chat room, even though I didn't get to chat with you, and showing up for the broadcast. Make sure I'll have these posted later today and tomorrow, and make sure you share them when they show up. Go to my blog, make sure you subscribe, and may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.